We keep waiting on some wonderful infilling of knowledge. And if I know just a little bit more, if I learn just a little bit more, if I memorize just a little bit more, which are all incredibly important, then I'll be ready to share. No, you're ready to share now. If you know Christ Jesus, you know His name, speak it with your lips. And tell people how He's changed your life.
Loving God, connecting with people, and impacting the world. This is Connections, a time of proclaiming God's Word at Wallace Memorial Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Join us as we share a message just for you from God's Word.
Take your copy of God's Word and open to the book of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. You're not familiar with the find the book in the Bible game and go all the way to the back and turn left, probably around 12 books or so. It's right before first or right after 1 Timothy. See how smart I am? It's the simple things in life that I find great joy in. Stand with me, if you would, in reading God's Word. If you're ready to receive from the Word of God today, say, I am. If you're ready to obey what you receive, say, I will. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul's talking to his young protege, Timothy. He says, you then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will be qualified to teach others also. Flip over to verse 14. Keep reminding them of these things. Warn them before God against quarreling about words. It is of no value and only ruins those who listen. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Avoid godless chatter, because those who indulge in it will become more and more ungodly. Their teaching will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have wandered away from the truth. They say that the resurrection has already taken place, and they destroy the faith of some. Nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription: the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses His name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. You may be seated. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to a young man, very young man, Timothy, as he begins to lead his church that Paul has started and handed off to him. And he tells him to be strong in the grace that is Christ Jesus. In other words, the grace that we are given, we have to make a choice to be strong in it, to stand in it, to walk in it, to forge forward in it, to attack the lostness of the world with the truth of Christ's grace. So he is giving some great instruction. One of our primary purposes as Christians is to grow into the likeness of Christ Jesus and to help others do the same. It's called discipleship. We're going through, in case, if you're visiting, we're going through a 9-week series based on this book by Dr. Tom Rainer, who, by the way, will be our guest speaker on September 25th here and at Cumberland Campus. So I hope you'll invite friends and family and coworkers to come and hear Dr. Rainer. He's the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources. But we're going through a study of this book, both in our small group time and here in big group time, and it's called I Will, 9 Traits of an Outwardly Focused Christian. We're going through it in order to move from an I am a church member statement to I will be an outwardly focused Christian statement. And so today we're in week 3, which is I will grow together with others. That's our I will statement. Last week, Terry and Jared just did an excellent job with the statement, I will worship with others. And what a great word from both of them, and what great worship yesterday or last week and today. So We will continue. I will continue, or I will grow together with others. This is incredibly important topic this week. It's sort of the toggle or the tipping point of this study, because if we don't determine to be obedient, to grow together with others, then we will just sit here being a church or acting like a church rather than being a church, and we will have no impact on the kingdom. And that is not what God died for. It is not what He saved us for. He saved us to grow and to become as He is. This passage in 2 Timothy shows a simple path, a simple equation to accomplish God's purpose of discipleship as He laid out in the Great Commission. Paul is teaching Timothy here how to lead God's church by making disciples. You don't make a church by just preaching. You don't make a church just fellowshipping. However, those are all important. You make a church by making disciples. It's the entire context of the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Discipleship is not fruitful until it's reproducing. We can't call ourselves a disciple if we're not making other disciples. You weren't called to be a disciple in order to become something you weren't. That's part of it. But if you lop off the last part, then you don't finish the process. Discipleship is only seen in its fulfillment when it reproduces in others. There are no one generational disciples. There are multiple generation disciples. That's what Paul is talking about here. Look in this one passage. You can, if you read it back as I'm talking, you'll see what I mean. Christ has already taught Paul. Paul went away upon his conversion, changed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul. He went away upon his conversion to the backside of the desert, and literally 14 years he sat and learned and grew at the teaching of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. And so Christ has taught Paul. Paul has taught Timothy. He taught Timothy to teach others who would be faithful to teach others also. If you count and number those iterations beginning with Christ, there are five generations of discipleship replication and reproduction. So in that one tiny verse, chapter 2, verse 2 of 2 Timothy, you see a generational model of discipleship. A reproductive, simplistic model of discipleship. Because if it's not simple, it's not reproducible. We tend to get really complex in our processes in church today, and that's why a lot of them fall by the wayside. Nobody can do it. You can't reproduce it. It has to stay simple. So in this one verse, five generations of replicational discipleship. Our I will statement is to grow together with others, and that's exactly what Paul was teaching, exhorting, and instructing Timothy to do. Grow together with others. Ephesians chapter 4, this would be a good day to have your YouVersion app, because I've got a lot of different scriptures and they jump all over the map, and if we take time to turn to all of them, we'll never get there. So I'm going to just read through them. I'll give you the reference. And it's on the YouVersion. It'll be published online, and you can go back and grab these verses. If you want to just write down the references on a note sheet, you can go back and look them up for yourself later. But Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. Paul is speaking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "And he personally gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the training." Here's the purpose. "For the training of the saints and the work of the ministry to build up the body of Christ until we all reach unity in faith and in the knowledge of God's Son, growing into mature man with the stature measured by Christ's fullness." Pay particularly attention to verse 13. "He gave us the gifts to the church to work, to train the saints in the work of the ministry for this reason. To reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of God's Son, growing into a mature man or woman with a stature measured by Christ's fullness." So there's a huge standard lift right there. The standard for growing is not so I'll be a better Christian tomorrow. The standard for growing, our ultimate measuring stick of am I a mature disciple of Christ, is Christ's fullness. The fullness of who He is living within us, lived out in the world through our lives, living as though He's living them, that is maturity. High standard. Much work. Eternal reward. Kingdom multiplication. But it's what He desires of us. In verse 14, he says, then we will no longer be like little children tossed by the waves and blown around by every wind of teaching, by human cunning with cleverness and the techniques of deceit. But speaking the truth in love, here's the grow word again, let us grow in every way into Him who is the head, Christ. Again, we're growing into Christ-likeness. All of our growth is not into a better church folk, not into a better Christian even, but growing into Christ-likeness. That is the journey we are on and the ultimate destination, Christ-likeness. That's the only comparison the Scripture allows us to make in whether we are growing and maturing or not. How much more do you look like Christ today than you did yesterday? That's the question we must ask when we grow. Not, well, I'm better than him. I'm doing better than they are. They go to church. He's a deacon down there at the church. I got a better life than he does. I do better than him. No. We can't compare ourselves to any man except Christ Jesus, because it's Christ-likeness that we have been saved to attain. From Him, the whole body fitted and knit together by every supporting ligament promotes the growth of the body for building up itself in love by the proper working of each individual part. So that entire last part of Ephesians 4 is about growing into Christ. In order to become an outwardly focused follower of Christ Jesus, which is what this whole book's about, and subsequently an outwardly focused church, we must grow up together into the likeness of Christ Jesus. It's absolutely a non-negotiable and an essential part if we are going to be who God called us to be individually and as a church. So how do we do that? By growing larger and smaller at the same time. We have to be an invite culture. We have to have an evangelistic heart, an evangelistic bent. We have to understand our responsibility to be evangelists. Each and every one of us seated in this room are evangelists for the Lord Jesus Christ. We must invite people to our churches, our homes, and ultimately into a relationship with Christ Jesus in order to grow the church so that we can train them for the ministry and send them back out to do it all over again. It's essential. We have to be evangelists. We have to be an invite culture. We need to invite them into our church, into our homes, and into our lives, that they might see the Jesus in us. Comes with a huge responsibility. First of all, there needs to be some Jesus in you, in me, oozing out of us, that they might catch hold of. Absolutely critical. When we invite people into our already crowded spaces, especially in a small group standpoint, when we invite them into our already crowded space, we have to make room for them by creating new groups and making whatever sacrifice is necessary to create space for them to learn and to become a disciple. That means some of us will have to get off our duffs, move our groups to other days, other times, other locations, or all of the above, in order that the ones who are coming to know Christ now can have the opportunity to be discipled in an environment that they can most quickly grow in. That means you and I, who are followers of Christ Jesus, who have been under the Word for many, many years, who have been under great teaching for many, many years, who have sat and studied the Scripture for many, many years, our responsibility is to now make the sacrifice to move over so that the finite space that this church and every church will ultimately have can be used for those who aren't here yet that need to take advantage of the programming we have during our Sunday morning hours, our Wednesday night hours, and our Sunday night hours. If guests and new believers in Christ, if we invite them into the church and invite them into a process of discipling them in our lives, they get here and all of our space is full of church folks, where are we going to put them? That don't mean we quit doing everything we're doing. It means that we have to be creative and we have to create space for those who aren't here yet. I mean, that to me, that's just really basic common sense in discipleship and church utility. I mean, you can't build buildings continually. That is being a bad steward. But we can make space continually by using our homes, by using the coffee shops, by using other hours of the week, for crying out loud. There is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and this building can be utilized in all of them, not just 2 hours on Sunday. And I know you've heard me say that before, and you're going to hear me say it 150 more times until we figure it out and start speaking as groups together and say, okay, how can my group, how can our group create space, invite people in? Don't move for the sake of moving. I want you to move because you've invited people into your life to have a discipleship relationship with, and they've come into our church, and then we need to start making space for them. And if they see you're willing to sacrifice for the benefit of their lives and their discipleship and their growth, I mean, they're going to love it, and they're going to want to do it, and they're going to want to be what you are. We have to start thinking that way. An outwardly focused church always has in the front of their mind, Jesus first, others next. We always have to be thinking about others. Ourselves need to be on the bottom of that preference list, because we get it. We know it. We just need to do it. This is evangelism and discipleship. This is others focused living. So let's look at this week's topic in detail. First of all, first two words, I will. This is our present and future tense continual commitment as a follower of Christ Jesus in order to become outwardly focused church. I will. Those words need to continually be in your speech. I will. I will what? Whatever it takes. That's what we talked about last week in our expectations session on Sunday evening. I will do whatever it takes to build the kingdom of God for Christ's glory and for the kingdom's sake and for others who are not here and haven't had the opportunity that we have had to be a part of kingdom work. We will continue to be a part of kingdom work so that others might become a part of the kingdom. I will, a continual present and future tense commitment to follow Jesus. So I will, we will. Then, next, I will grow. Grow, kind of a word that's so common we don't think about what it means. But in this context, to grow as a believer in Christ means to become more than I currently am. Wherever you're at, we must be more tomorrow. We tend to build our structures and our discussions and our group in such a way that people are intimidated when they come in if they feel they don't know as much of the Bible as you do. If they feel they don't grasp this whole church Christian thing as much as you do, they feel isolated from the conversation and isolated from the discussion. And it can't be that way. Because once you meet Christ and once you have committed your life and sacrificed and answered that call to die for His sake, then we're all in the same journey. And there are no good and bad places. I don't want any of you here or any new people or any guests to think, I'm less than they are. No, you're just in a different place. And I want you to know that's okay. Because my job and everybody here's job is to help those who are a little bit behind us in the process to move forward. There's no good place or bad place in the discipleship journey. If you're in the journey, you're in the right place. And then our job as believers, as more mature, seasoned believers, is to help you move along. It's not because you're inferior. You're just not at the same place in the journey that many of us are. And so as believers, we need to listen to language to try to discern where people are at in their walk. I've got a whole several pages of comments for leaders and disciples to listen for as others talk. And by listening to things they say and opinions and attitudes they have, it'll help you sort of understand where they're at in their maturity level. And again, it's not judging anything to do about who they are. It's just trying to help us know where they are so we know what they need next to grow. Does that make sense? It's just being discerning and not talking and teaching in such a way that people feel left behind. We need to bring people with us in the journey. So we have to become more than I currently am. We have to become more in love with God and Christ through an indwelling, abiding, even more intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Become more knowledgeable of God's will by studying His Word, and become more obedient to the knowledge I receive with the help of those who teach me by being accountable to respond to the teaching of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled faces are looking as in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image." We are looking into the mirror of God's Word, into the face of Christ, and being transformed by that image into the same image. And here's one of the greatest phrases in Christian growth. We are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That means from God encounter to God encounter. Every time I look into the mirror of His Word and His life, every time I encounter the Spirit of God, I am being transformed into His likeness from glory to glory, from God encounter, from God moment to God moment. That should just set your soul on fire. Every time I encounter God, I'm being transformed into His likeness. And we need to think in that way. Here's an exhortation from Paul to the Colossian church in chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. He says, "We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Here's why. "So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God." There's a progression of understanding revelation and working it out so that we grow in the knowledge of God. That's an exhortation to the Colossians. Here's an admonishment from the writer of Hebrews, chapter 5, 11 through 14. "We have a great deal to say about this, and it's difficult to explain, since you have become too lazy to understand." Now, I'm not sure who the writer of Hebrews is. Many thoughts on that, but he don't mince words. "Since you have become too lazy to understand, although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk and not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant, but solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil." He's saying, look, some of y'all have been sitting in this church game for a long time. And while you should be moving out and teaching others, you're still needing to be taught. We're still having to go over the basics of salvation, of conversion, of discipleship. We're still having to go over the basics of the resurrection when we should be moving on to the transformation of lives and bringing others into the kingdom. While we should be eating meat, we're still having to serve milk because, in his words, we've just become too lazy to understand. But we love to read the playbook. It's time to get in the game. Is there any doubt from these passages of Scripture that God desires us to continually grow in our faith and in our boldness of the gospel? If your boldness is not growing, your spirit's not growing. You need to become and pray for boldness. He never intended for us to remain in learning mode. Looking at these clear passages in the New Testament that we've read regarding growth, I want to make a clear distinction between learning and growing, because there's a real difference. Learning is a gaining of knowledge. The word disciple literally means learner. It's a discipline of knowing and understanding more. So learning is a gaining of knowledge. Growing is a working out of your salvation by exercising what you have learned. Here's the problem. Our churches are full of learners. We love to come to Bible studies. We need love to sit under good teachers. We need love to hear another lecture, another sermon, another conference, another podcast. We learn to love and soak more. But we've become so intent on learning mode, we don't move to growing mode. And learning without growing is really, you'll become a Bible trivia major. And there's an app for that. But you won't grow into the likeness of Christ Jesus. You won't work out your salvation by pushing what you learn into the world of lost souls that desperately needs the truth you already know. We keep waiting on some wonderful infilling of knowledge. And if I know just a little bit more, if I learn just a little bit more, if I memorize just a little bit more, which are all incredibly important, then I'll be ready to share. No, you're ready to share now. If you know Christ Jesus, you know His name, speak it with your lips. And tell people how He's changed your life. Share your testimony continually. Don't spend a lot of time on how lost you were. Spend a ton of time on how saved you are and how Christ has transformed your life and how you just look forward to waking up every day to become more like Him. That is witnessing. It's time to put some of our learning to work. It's time to put our knowledge on the street. It's time to try our wisdom in the arena of the world full of lost people. We spend endless hours every year learning. It's time to spend an overabundance of our time growing. If your knowledge just sits in your journal, if your knowledge just rests in the brain and never moves to your life's work, then all your study has been in vain and useless for the kingdom's sake. Do we really think that when we get to heaven that God is going to ask us how many times we read the Bible in our life? It's important that you continually, systematically read the Word, but that's not the end game. That's the exercise of the journey. God's not going to ask you how many times you read His Word. Do you really think God's going to ask us how many Sunday school lessons we read? How many quarterlies we have put back in our bookshelves at home? Do we really think that God's going to ask us how many classes we took, how many lectures we sat in? No. God's going to ask us, what did you do with what you knew? God's going to say, why did you study so much and do so little? Why did you know about my son and not tell anyone who he is and what he did for them? Why? That's what God's going to want to know. Why did you seek my will so diligently and not obey it at all? Why? 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 If most of us never sat under another sermon, never went to another class, never read another quarterly, we have more knowledge, wisdom, and understanding. We have enough to change the world, to turn it upside down. But it means we must grow. We must be obedient to what we know. We have more knowledge individually and collectively, knowledge and understanding of the will of God than the apostles all together times 100 because of the revelation of His complete Word and the understanding of God's will by the Spirit teaching us. So what's wrong? We're learning, but we're not growing. There's a distinct difference. This year, start an intentional growth plan. Don't look for a book on it. It's really pretty easy. An intentional growth plan. It's simply sitting down and writing a list of simple truths that you already know about Jesus and about our responsibility as followers of Jesus, and then commit to doing them. You already know much, much truth. We already know much about Christ's life and how He did things. All we need to do is jot down our top 10 that we know that come to the top of our head when we think of it, and then commit to do them this year. I promise you, you'll grow. I promise you, you'll grow. You'll grow in the doing, not just in the learning. I think we need to make a commitment to start asking each other in our circle of influences, in our connect groups, in our Bible study groups, in our accountability groups, in our D groups. We need to start asking each other, are you growing? Not learning, are you growing? Are you growing into the likeness of Christ? How are you living out the Christ you know? You should write that everywhere that you can see it this week, on your computer, on your sun visor, your car, truck. How am I living out the Christ I know? How does my life reflect the truth you already know? I will. A commitment to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Grow. Be more than I currently am by living my life as though Jesus were living it and living according to the truth I already know. And then lastly, I will grow together with others. Together with others is an environment for life transformation. It is God's plan for our lives to be transformed. We must realize our human nature and place ourselves under the authority of godly leadership and the accountability of other believers. Because if you think we can live this life apart from other believers and succeed, you don't understand the recipe that God put in the Word. Paul tells us very clearly that we are all members of one body and we are obligated to each other. We belong to each other. We are responsible for each other. It is a one another faith. There's no way a believer can isolate himself from the church and succeed. It can't happen. You say, well, what about Christians who say they know Christ but never come to church? How much of a Christian are they? Not much, if at all. You can't live in isolation from other believers. It's not biblical. It's certainly not an environment for a transformed life. It just can't happen. We need each other. I need you. You need me to grow and to walk this life. The Bible's full of exhortations for us to walk in fellowship with one another. Ray Ortland, who's a pastor and author, he wrote a great book after Brother Andrew's writings called Practicing the Presence of God. Ray Ortland makes this statement. It's really very convicting. The Christian who is not committed to a group of other believers for praying, sharing, and serving so that he is known as he knows others is not an obedient Christian. He is not in the will of God. However vocal he may be in his theology, he is not obeying the Lord. If you're not committed to a group of believers for praying, sharing, serving, and so that he is known as he knows others, you're not an obedient Christian and not in the will of God. However vocal you may be in your theology, you're not an obedient Christian. So let me close with five reasons. Five reasons why growing together with one another is important. Number one, because I belong in God's family with other believers. I belong in God's family with other believers. Romans 12:5 says that we are members of one body, and as such, we belong to each other. That verse implies a shared responsibility to one another in our church. No isolation. We must work hand in hand in unison with the Spirit's leading. I belong in God's family with other believers. Number two, I need encouragement to grow spiritually. Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of one another and how we can encourage one another to love and good deeds. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10. Two are better off than one. If one of them falls down, the other can help him up. But if someone is alone and falls, it's just too bad because there's no one there to help him. Two men can resist an attack that would defeat one man alone. We need encouragement to grow spiritually. Number three, I need accountability to grow spiritually. Proverbs 27:17. People learn from one another just as iron sharpens iron. Hebrews 3:12-13. Watch out, brothers, so there won't be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that departs from the living God. But encourage each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. Listen, sin is glamorous. It smells good. It tastes good. It's when it goes down that it becomes bitter. And it's too late by that point. We really need to encourage one another so that we don't get trapped in the glamour of sin. Because if we're honest, we all understand what that means. Galatians 6:1 says this, brothers, if someone is trapped in some sin, You who are spiritual should restore him gently. Carry each other's burdens. In this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. What's the law of Christ? Caring for one another. Just simply caring for one another. We must be in accountable relationships or groups that will hold us in front of our commitment to Christ and to his church on a daily and weekly basis, or we will fail. This is why Connect Group is a part of our discipleship process. But it's only a part. It's only the entry point to our discipleship process. Connect Group is good, but it's not best. The group is too large at that level and diverse to be accountable. Too many people to build trust among. There can't be a deep trust relationship between 20 people. It's just not going to happen. There's too many minds and mouths in a group that size to have deep levels of trust. Mixed genders will never be accountable to each other. Men are not going to be completely open around women and vice versa. That's why in your connect groups, you must be intentional about breaking down in smaller groups that meet each outside of the connect group, 3 to 5 men, 3 to 5 women, who meet at another time in another place for the purpose of accountability and walking out life and responding to the word we know together. You don't need an extra curriculum. You have the Bible. Walk through it. Get in a reading plan. Journal. It's simple. October 2nd, Sunday night, we start a new round of Catalyst classes, and one of them is Growing Up. Growing Up teaches you how to do this. It's simple, and it's reproducible. And it simply uses the Scripture to begin. It's absolutely essential to grow deeper. We can stay in our connect groups and keep being learners and go to a reasonable level of depth in our discipleship and our growth, but you will never grow to the extent that Paul was talking about in all these scriptures and the writer of Hebrews was talking about in those scriptures. You will never grow to the depth of your Christian life in a group that large. It's not possible. That's not saying that connect group is bad. It's just saying that it's not the best environment to drive you deeper in your maturity. There has to be an additional layer underneath it. This is the missing link in almost every church in this country. Smaller, gender-specific, accountable groups to live and walk out Christ's life together. It's why the number of churches is growing while the number of recorded conversions are ever decreasing. That's the main reason, because we're learning, we're not growing. Number 4, fellowship is a witness to the world. John 13, 34 and 35. I give you a new command. Love one another just as I have loved you. You must also love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Fellowship is a witness. Some of the greatest witnesses you'll have. Some of the greatest witness you'll have in a community is sitting together with a group of brothers or sisters, working through the scriptures, hashing out the Bible study together, and showing love to one another. The people all around you, wherever you choose to have your group time, whether it be in a restaurant or a Starbucks or a McDonald's or a library or wherever in the public community, in a park, people see you loving on each other and just digesting the Word of God and truth and grow together. That's the greatest witness you can have, is loving each other. Or if your next door neighbors, if there's some sickness in one of your group's families and your next door neighbor sees people continually coming to his home with help, with food, with cleaning supplies, with their lawnmower to help cut the yard when somebody's down and can't mow. When people see that, don't think they're not watching, because they are. When people see that, they will start understanding what this whole Christian thing is about. And it's a great testimony, a great witness. And lastly, we're obligated to one another. There's at least 58 times in which this concept of one another's is used in the New Testament. Serve one another, accept one another, forgive one another, greet one another, bear one another's burdens, be devoted to one another, honor one another, teach one another, submit to one another, encourage one another. There's a tremendous emphasis throughout the New Testament that growing together in fellowship, of coming together and ministering and serving one another, it's the way God intended for it to be. So our topic this week is, I will grow together with others. Growing together with others is critically essential to being a healthy, outwardly focused church. We must grow and remain healthy on the inside if we're going to make a difference on the outside. So whatever it takes, plan out your growth for the year. Be intentional about it. Be intentional about taking the word you know, always filling your heart up with more word, but being intentional about walking it out. Work out your salvation, Scripture says. That way you grow. That way the world's turned upside down. We have to be healthy on the inside so that we can have kingdom impact on the outside. Let's pray. God, this morning, as we just see in book after book, letter after letter, gospel after gospel, your exhortation, your admonishment, your encouragement to grow into the head that is Christ, into Christ's likeness, from God moment to God moment, as we encounter you, Lord, you compel us, command us to grow by walking out our faith and our understanding and wisdom of the knowledge of your word and your will. So God, as we read these scriptures this morning, as we think about those things that we desperately still need to do, I pray that, Lord, we will not settle into our ruts of learning, but we will move into the journey of growing. And God, I pray that we'll hold each other accountable, that we'll challenge each other, that we'll love each other enough to push each other out of our ruts, fill in the ruts behind us, and walk in this journey together. God, I pray this week that everyone in this building will make an intentional growth plan. God, help us all to see the importance of growing, not just learning. Help us to face outward and know that we were saved for the sake of others. Help us to turn the church inside out so that we can turn the world upside down. In Christ's name, amen. As our pastors are coming, the ones that we have, I know we're in a small crew this morning because holidays and we're spread out everywhere, but as they come forward right now, here's the invitation. Maybe you were here this morning and the pulling of the Holy Spirit said, I so want to be in your heart, but I'm not there. Today's the day of your salvation. Just come forward and tell one of our pastors that you're tired of playing the game and you want to be saved this morning. Just don't worry about all the things you need to say. Just say, I want to be saved. Five words. They'll walk with you. We will help you with the scriptures understand what salvation means and what your next steps are. Maybe you're here and visiting, looking for a church home. This is a good one. God's really doing something here now. If you want to be a part, then come and just say, I'd like to be a part of your family. There's a whole bunch of ways to join the church. It starts here. So come forward as they begin to sing and join the church. Maybe you just want to come down and pray because God's convicted you that you've been spending many, many years being a learner and not a grower. Maybe you just want to confess to the Lord that you want to move forward in the journey with others and be accountable to grow together so that we can reach the world for Christ Jesus. If you want to come to the altar and just pray, then this is your time. As the choir sings, you come.
You have been listening to Connections from Wallace Memorial Baptist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. Heard every week at this time. We hope you've been inspired and challenged throughout this broadcast. If you would like to hear or see more of these messages, you will find them on the internet at www.wmbc.net. Or contact our broadcast ministry by calling 865-688-4343. Thank you again for listening to Connections, as we are seeking to love God, connect with people, and impact the world with the message of good news through Jesus Christ.